You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team, well, it's unconditional.
Yep.
Even in spite of the recent articles that are being written, OBM loves the Browns. So is the loyalty that OBM provides its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum-level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined in the Dog Bowl right now by Kevin Jones, at Mr. _ Kevin Jones on Twitter. He's got a couple good articles that he's written at ClevelandBrowns.com, actually a lot of them. Most recently, you talked about free agents and Terrence West, his workout regimen as he looks to get in shape this year, taking up a little bit of the sweet science, KJ.
You know, the thing about Terrence West that I really love, Nathan, is that he knows his rookie season didn't go as well as it should have gone. 643 yards, still led the Browns, but Terrence West was motivated week one, his NFL debut, to go out and play the Steelers. Week 17, he was motivated in his hometown of Baltimore, and he showed up in both those games. For Terrence West, it is about coming to work every day motivated. He knows that. He wants to drop some weight, weighed 228 pounds to end the season. That's 15 pounds overweight, according to him. He's been doing boxing, a lot of cardio. Terrence West knows what he needs to do, and he's a young Browns player that this could be a core piece of the roster moving forward. I liked what I saw from him his rookie season, some inconsistencies, but he's owning up to those and really wants to improve on them.
What would you guess that a guy like Terrence West, who has taken the physical side of getting ready to come into a second season and take the workload by dropping the weight, by doing the boxing and physically, but I think also too, as you said, some of the immaturities are more mental. How do you think he can bridge that gap to grow mentally to be a pro from year one to year two?
I think coming into this situation with Ben Tate, there was tension. Let's not even lie about it. There was tension between that. I think that was good for Terrence West to experience coming into a running back's room where, hey, everyone's fighting for the ball. Everyone really wants it. And Ben Tate maybe didn't mentor him. He didn't get the proper guidance that most rookies get. You know, you saw Chris Kirksey and Craig Robertson became best friends, Joel Bitonio and Joe Thomas. No one was really buddy-buddy to Terrence West. He was kind of figure it out on
but
your own.
But he still doesn't have that now. So is it kind of like, is he just going to have to learn the hard
Wilbur
way?
Wilbur Montgomery, though. I think Wilbur
sure.
Montgomery, and I think the Browns could bring in a veteran. But I think Wilbur Montgomery has been such a great coach and teacher for these two young running backs. And I think now they're going to be in schemes that actually suit their skills a little bit more than necessarily that zone scheme did.
Like getting out and catching passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, I love
which
that.
They both have good hands.
Terrence only had 11 catches last year, but I think he had something like 90 yards. So they were yards down the field. So for Terrence West to come in here with his head screwed on tightly and really motivated, that could be huge for this offense, and it seems like that way in talking to him.
And let me say this. You look at Le'Veon Bell, who came in and lost a lot of weight between his rookie year and his second year, became more involved as a pass catcher and went on to be one of the best running backs in the NFL. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen with Terrence West, but I think if he can get down to that 215 area, down from 228, I mean, 13.7% body fat, you hear that? That's not an NFL body.
No, not for a running back. No, it's not. They should be at or around 10%.
Yeah.
And he had trouble getting that second burst. I mean, there was times where, of course, there was offensive line issues, but, you know, he wasn't able to run past linebackers at certain points, and that's something he would admit.
We just have to figure, again, I know in training, you know, in off seasons, you work out with parachutes, you work out with weight vests, and you have to figure how much faster would you be, you know, if you took off a 15-pound weight vest. You know, you'd feel lighter, you know, and I would think also, too, having 1 year under his belt, he's going to learn, you know, what his body needs to persevere
sure.
through some of the tough times. He didn't so much hit a rookie wall because he got a little bit of a later start and kind of pushed through it in that middle portion of the year. And, of course, as you said, in Baltimore at the end of the year. But like I said, is being lighter, being faster, being quicker, I love the fact that he's got Isaiah Crowell, who's hungry as well, who excelled in his rookie year. If the two of them mentally can coexist in that room with Wilbert Montgomery's mentorship and they push each other, it's only a great thing for the Cleveland Browns.
What do you think, you know, when you talk about that from first to second year, how much did you learn about your body, how to prepare to be a pro? What is that where you make a real big jump?
It is where you make a big jump. Mine was a little bit actually from year two to year three. And it was, again, being around the right guys. We had a big overhaul in from year one to year two. Dale Lindsey, defense coordinator, 4-3 guy, got fired. Wade Phillips brought in a 3-4 scheme. So we were learning. But I learned an awful lot about being a pro. And that's something that I think Terrence West needs to get from somewhere. And I don't think it's necessarily going to get it from Wilbert Montgomery. He'll get the mentorship of being a running back. But I would see, you know, who is Terrence West hanging around with? Is it a Miles Austin who's been in the league a while, or a Hawkins, or a guy that's beating the odds and also, too, has an extreme amount of work ethic? You know, he should gravitate towards them and apply that towards his running back skills.
And should the Browns consider bringing in a veteran? Maybe not someone that's going to get a ton of carries, but someone to come in and show Crowell and West the way.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. And again, you can spend the money now at running back on a veteran and not give him a whole chunk of change like you did, Tate, but be very, very clear. We're bringing you in here as a third down back, quote unquote. You know, we're going to pay you $1 million, but we really want you to rub off on, you know, your great career, and you toot his horn to bring him to Cleveland on these two young running backs. And the three of you will be this three-headed monster, you know, that'll be a great thing to grow with. And again, that veteran, maybe 6, 7, 8 years in the league, could play 2 or 3 more years and extend his career here simply by being a mentor and not, you know, maybe playing a little bit of special teams and make a significant amount of money and extend his career.
The Browns are going to throw the football a little bit more, but this is still going to be a team relying on the run. And Terrence West, if he has a big year, that could equal more wins for the Browns. So is monitoring his progression and seeing him care for his body, that's really good news for the Browns.
And for the Browns, in addition to Terrence West, their third-round pick, they had undrafted free agent Isaiah Crowell, one of 2 5-star recruits out of high school on the Browns teams. You wrote an article about that as well.
I think that was Gribble, I helped with the research. Very surprising. About 20 players didn't have stars at all. Wilhelm, what were you? What,
3.
3-star. Hoyer was a 3-star. Joe Hayden was a 4-star. But
the only 2 5-stars were Crowell and Jacoby McDaniel.
Kind of wild. You know, there were 0 5-stars who were starters in the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's also, too, again, as we are on, you know, National Signing Day, and I sat at home watching, you know, guys commit to Florida, the number 1 overall guy commit to Auburn, and why you have to give – we are always so critical as analysts and sometimes as fans of these young men, you know, both at the collegiate level and as pros, but you have to understand how significant – of a statistic you have to be to even make it. And then once you get here, to make it and stay in the National Football League and play, and then above and beyond that, to produce the way guys like Brady have produced for 15 years, or Aaron Rodgers for 7, it's amazing. It's something that, for me, you know, yes, I was a part of it, but I'm still like, wow. And if I had, and every time I have an opportunity to talk to young people, I'm like, get your education, because you have a 0.00003 chance of ever playing in the NFL.
I think the hype of signing day now, and if you're a 5-star, the pressure on you to be the guy to go into a university, be the big man on campus, I think it's becoming too much. Clearly, you see most of these guys are not panning out. You don't see many 5-stars live up to that hype from high school to college to the NFL.
I was the worst of 3 linebackers at Ohio State in my recruiting class. One was Fred Puckett, whose dad still coaches in the NFL, was a defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Pat O'Neill, another guy from Walsh Jesuit, he was a, you know, honorable mention All-American. I'm just, you know, again, a 3-star recruit, played running back and linebacker from this small school with 100 kid graduating class. But I went on, and the same thing I talk about when it comes to Josh Gordon, I just applied myself. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I was like, I wanted to be the best. And that's what I was addicted to winning and being the best. And that's why my career ended up one way. And these guys barely played any games at Ohio State and didn't even sniff the NFL.
Because they were told they were going to be good and they didn't put in the work.
Absolutely.
What was your 40 time? Curious, man.
4.59.
Ooh.
4.59.
Handheld. Probably 4.67 electric.
Scooting.
What is it now?
Oh, God. 4.89. I could crack sub 5.
You could go. It's like you could, oh,
yes.
Maybe that'll be a segment.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I would imagine.
Nathan looks fast.
I'm not fast.
Really?
No, I'm not fast.
Can you jump?
Not fast.
My 39.5-inch vertical.
No, I do not have a 39.5-inch vertical. I can only dunk off of 1 foot. One hand, one foot. When I was in college, I was able to do some things.
Yeah, I could do some sick dunks.
Yeah.
Look at could, athlete, could. I'm not I could fast. I could do sick jumps or dunks, but I don't know if I can anymore. I can dunk still.
I was the guy in high school. We were down 30. I would come in and like all the fans would go crazy. I got to play for 30 seconds. So
would you always just come in and heat check it? Would you just get in and shoot it?
Oh, I would be the guy up in the face with the hand waving.
He's the Dellavedova.
Deli plays a lot.
He shouldn't.
Okay, you're the Sean Marion. Jermaine Jones.
Mike Miller probably Mike at this Miller. Point.
He shouldn't be playing.
Did you have custom made pom poms?
Yeah, I was a tuxedo player.
Did you look sweet?
You know what? I was a practice guy because I would really get amped up in practice and get people really fired
sure.
up.
Sure, that's scout team players. You
exactly.
Need
who's your like? Give me your pro comparison.
Oh man,
of your game.
I was a big man. I was tall.
Did you wear wristbands?
I don't.
My pro.
Knowing
comparison.
That you wouldn't sweat.
Rafe LaFrance. I'm not a lefty, but kind of a guy that can hit some shots and get underneath.
Who is your pro comparison?
My pro comparison, Shane Battier.
Shane Battier.
Yeah. Oh, you okay. shoot threes. Yeah. You take a lot of charges.
I could play inside if I needed to because I'm tall enough, but I'd prefer to be out on the wing.
I'm more like a Rex Chapman, Drazen Petrovic.
Ooh, yeah. You know who? Actually, here it is. I'm Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc. Yes. Okay, so you had a little bit of solid.
Kind of look like him too.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have brown hair.
There it is. KJ, two players, you also wrote about the Browns free agents that are out there. Two players that the Browns must re-sign.
I know we disagree on this, and we've had this discussion before, but I think it's really been brought to light this week. I think Brian Hoyer is the best veteran quarterback on the market. I don't know if he's a backup. I don't know what the situation is, but I think at this point, for a safety net, I think the Browns should re-sign him. I think the dog pound would be happy with that. I think that would be kind of a stable move. And then also Tashaun Gibson, of course. And then another name who had a really good year and is an energy player and is loved in the locker room, man of the year, Craig Robertson. He's an exclusive rights free agent, so it should be pretty easy to get him back. But he needs to be here in that linebacker's room. Carlos Dansby, 33. You hope that he can play the whole season next year, but you got to have that insurance. Of course, Chris Kirksey, good too. I like that as a platoon, Kirksey, Robertson. I wouldn't want to disrupt that.
You know,
at
the
all.
One thing that all three of us are going to have to get, and I know we may get him next week, is John DeFilippo. You know, see where he's at in his progress of evaluating last season. Because when we heard from him being introduced, it was, I really haven't looked at a lot. But that's what my body of work is going to be over the next coming weeks, is evaluating last year's 16 football games at every offensive position and see where he stands and ask him the tough question. You know, where does he weigh in on the little we saw of Johnny Manziel and the lot of that we saw of Brian Hoyer?
And Jordan Cameron, too. He could be like, we need this guy. And there's been a lot of Absolutely. Discussions and reports, he may not be back.
If he fits the system,
DeFilippo may say, this guy can be a star in my system. May have to franchise
the
tag.
The only other thing that might be more attractive to Jordan Cameron is if he feels he's a better fit somewhere else and there's more money affiliated with going somewhere else and be a bigger part of the offense.
Question for you guys. For a franchise tag with Jordan Cameron, would that even be possible?
No.
It's possible. I mean, they have it to use on somebody.
It'd probably be, $11, $12 million?
No, I think it's like $9 for
is
a tight end.
The yeah. average of the top five?
Yeah. That is overpaying for him, but if DeFilippo is that confident, they may have to listen.
I think that there are guys – it'll be interesting. I don't think he'll get franchise tagged. I don't know if anybody that they have on the free agent side of it will get franchise tagged. I think you got to get Tashaun Gibson back. Now he's restricted, so I think that they will make sure that they do that. To me, he would be the first one. And then after that, I like Buster Skrine. I think he's done a lot well for this team. But obviously, if you have Gilbert and you have Dazeer, then, maybe you don't need him as much with the emerged Kwan, but I think you got to bring Buster Skrine back in the interim.
I agree. And I think for you guys, and I might be, falling on deaf ears, but for those of you out there, is in most cases, a restricted free agent, they're going to give you that tender, that first round grade, that second round tender to pay you that amount of money so that it would take another team to give you that pick to receive that player or have an opportunity, but you still have last say.
Which rarely happens.
And then also, I would say the unrestricted free agents will get addressed first. Do we re-sign them or do we not? Because the last thing we want them to do is to hit the market and open up dialogue, with other teams very early and sway them away. Because next year, you've got your restricted guy back in most cases. Yeah. You can get into training. You can start negotiating with them in training camp. Maybe Tashaun Gibson starts the season. You don't want him to hold out because you have active negotiations and you announce something great for the city of Cleveland finally, that you re-sign a great player to a lucrative deal early in the 2015 season.
I mean, I look at it. Tava Rubin's going to be gone. To me, it said that you'll have the people that you need to keep an eye on: Jabal Sheard, Buster Skrine, Jordan Cameron, probably the big three. Then you have Miles Austin. Maybe he comes back for one more year.
Brian Hoyer.
Jim Leonard's retiring. Marlon Moore could be back. I thought he was a very good special teams player. Sione Fua, we'll see. Sean Drone, we'll see. Tyler Thigpen, probably not.
One topic, again, Jabal Sheard, as you put him at the top of your list. I think, personally, we can go find a better fit at outside linebacker in free agency for less money than Jabal Sheard.
It'll be interesting with him because he will probably field offers from other teams. I could see him being a guy that doesn't sign until April and maybe comes back here on a lower deal. And let's remember this: when you look at Jabal's numbers last year, he was in a walking boot for 6 weeks at the end of the season, really fighting through pain because this team needed him on the field.
But then also, too, is you got to figure that affects his free agent number. He goes on IR and he's 100% healthy, he'll garner more money struggling through a season.
He lost money because of his dedication to the Cleveland Browns. Hey. So that's something to point out.
You know what? It's a business.
Jabal Sheard played like a Brown.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
He did. KJ, thanks for the great stuff. Follow him on Twitter at Mr_KevinJones and read his great work, including the return of the Dog Pound Journal every day. During the week?
Yeah, I'm posting it at 7 a.m., so it'll be up there right when you get to your
risers.
Office.
That's right, for the early risers out there.
Any rotation shout-out?
No, I'm chilled out on that. I'm really going to be normal. It's nice. It's fun.
It's nice. It feels good?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Exercising a lot, reading a lot of books.
Congrats on being normal.
Are you going to start boxing with T. West in case you and Judge ever get inside the squared circle?
That's something that I'll have to talk to Terrence about. He's from Baltimore. I'm from D.C., so
close.
We might be able to make something happen.
Yeah, Merlin. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We got some sound from Chris Carter, Jeff Saturday, John Gruden talking about the Browns, Josh Gordon, Johnny Manziel, etc. That's when we return. Plus, we'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. Very newsworthy day. Lots of articles being written about the Browns right now. Mary Kay Cabot talking about Texgate, and Jason Lockenfora talking about what he perceives to be the dysfunction inside of the Cleveland Browns organization. Moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway.